अर्धेष्टाम एव देहिनम् योन्थाश्चरति सो यक्षा विदाने नेहा देह भाक्। नासुयान खालु कृष्णाया मोहितास्थास्य मायया मन्यमाना स्वपार्श्वास्थान स्वान स्वान दारान व्रजोकषा। The cowherd man, bewildered by Krishna's illusory potency, thought their wives had remained home at their sides. Thus they did not harbor any jealous feelings against him. Purport: because the gopis loved Krishna exclusively, Yogamaya protected their relationship with the Lord at all times, even though they were married. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti quotes from the Ujjvala Nilamani as follows: Maya kalpita thadrik sri silane nanu suyubhi tajatu brajadevi nam patibhi sahasangamaha. The gopis' jealous husbands consorted not with their wives, but with doubles manufactured by Maya. Thus, these men never actually had any intimate contact with the divine ladies of Braja. The gopis are the internal energy of the Lord and can never belong to any other living being. Krishna arranged their apparent marriage to other men simply to create the exception of the love between a married woman and her paramour. These activities are absolutely pure because they are the Lord's pastimes, and saintly persons since time immemorial have relished these supreme spiritual events. Brahmaratra upabrate vasudevanumodata anichanto yayor gopya swagrihan bhagavat priya. After an entire night of Brahma had passed, Lord Krishna advised the gopis to return to their homes. Although they did not wish to do so, the Lord's beloved consorts complied with his command. Purport: in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, by human calculation, 1,000 ages together is the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night. Thus, 1,000 ages entered within a single 12-hour night when Lord Krishna performed his Ras dance. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti compares this inconceivable compression of time to the fact that many universes fit neatly within the 40-mile range of earthly Vrindavan. Or one may consider that Mother Yashoda could not encircle the small abdomen of child Krishna with numerous ropes, and that at another time he manifested many universes within his mouth. The transcendence of spiritual reality above and beyond mundane physics is concisely explained in Srila Rupa Goswami's Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Evam prabho priyanam cha dhamnas cha samayasya cha avichintya prabhavatvam atra kinshid na durgatam. Nothing is impossible for the Lord, his dear devotees, his transcendental abode, or the time of his pastimes, for all these entities are inconceivably powerful. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti further explains that the word Vasudeva Numodata indicates that Lord Krishna advised the gopis to assure the success of these pastimes you and I should keep them secret. The word Vasudev, the name of Krishna, also indicates Lord Krishna's plenary expansion, who acts as the presiding deity of consciousness. When the word Vasudev is understood in this context, the word Vasudeva Mumodita indicates that the presiding deity of consciousness, Vasudev, manifested embarrassment and fear of their elders within the gopis' hearts, and therefore it was only with great reluctance that the young girls returned home. Om Agyan Jinidandasya Kyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Bilitam Jinatasmoy Sri Guru Namaha Vanshakal Patarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patithanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithanam Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The cowherd men, bewildered by Krishna's illusory potency, thought their wives had remained home by their sides. Thus they did not harbor any jealous feelings against him. After an entire night of Brahma had passed, Lord Krishna advised the gopis to return to their homes. Although they did not wish to do so, the Lord's beloved consorts complied with his command. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvata Chyatvadeham punar janma naitimam eti sorajuna. The transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities are not subjected to the limitations of material creation. They are purely spiritual, therefore they are ananta. They are unlimited, without restriction. In this material world, we are always frustrated because the soul is eternal and it is looking for eternal pleasure. But due to the time factor, all pleasures have a beginning and an end. The soul is part of Krishna, who is unlimited. The soul is seeking for the unlimited nature of Krishna. But it is constantly being frustrated because in this creation, everything is limited. Limited by time, limited by space. But in the spiritual existence, all of these material qualities are conspicuous by its absence. Natad bhashyate suryo. Krishna says in the Gita that in the transcendental world there is no need for sun or moon or electricity, because everything is by nature light. Chit, sat chit ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Knowledge is light, ignorance is darkness. This material world is a place of asit, asat, achit, nirananda. It is a place that is temporary, and it is full of ignorance, and it is full of pain. That is why the whole material world is dark. Nothing emanates its own light. Our bodies are ignorant. They are simply dark. And everything around us. Therefore, the sun, which is a gift of God, comes to bring light into the darkness of this world. But when the sun sets, everything by its own nature is dark. But in the spiritual world, every body of every living being, every element, all substances are chit. They are full of knowledge. Therefore, they emanate their own brilliant light. It is said that the soul itself is more radiant than 10,000 suns. But when that soul is covered by darkness due to forgetfulness, ignorance, its qualities are hidden. Krishna has created his own abode with pure spiritual elements. Therefore, there is no darkness. Time itself is conspicuous by its absence. Therefore, Ananta, everything about the world of Vaikuntha is unlimited, without restriction. And therefore, it is a place of Ananda, a place of bliss. It is our home. This world is a strange, foreign land. This world is a place of terrible culture shock for the eternal soul. And when we become habituated, conditioned, and addicted to the darkness of this world, that is our great misfortune. Therefore, Krishna descends into this world to reveal the pure, joyful, unlimited pastimes of the spiritual world. So what is said here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we should have no doubt that it is a fact, it is true. How Krishna arranges his lila in the most wonderful, exciting ways. Shukadev Goswami explains here that the husbands of the gopis, they were never, although they loved their wives, they were never jealous of Krishna. Why? Because their wives were always by their side. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the gopis were the internal potency of the Lord. And they're exclusively meant only for Krishna's satisfaction. Therefore, there is no possibility of any other living being even touching the body of the gopis. And he is explaining that Krishna, by his supreme yogamaya potency, he created a maya form of every gopi. He manufactured an exact duplicate of every gopi. And that duplicate was living with the husband. But the gopi herself, she was with Krishna during this Rasa-lila. And whenever there was a time when any intimate dealing between a husband or wife would take place, it was the Maya imitation gopi that was with the husband. But factually, the husbands themselves in Vrindavan, under the spell of Yoga Maya, were simply thinking in terms of Krishna's pleasure, and therefore whatever they did, whether it be with the Maya Gopi or with the original Gopi, they did it only to increase the ecstasy of the Gopi's Leela with Krishna. In this way, by the inconceivable, unlimited potency of Krishna, he maintained the absolute most purest position of the gopis, and at the same time facilitated the highest ecstasy of divine love called Parakya Ras, the love between the Lord with the excitement of the danger and the surrender of having to break the laws of mundane morality. In this material world, if we behave immorally, we are simply immoral. But Krishna, he can arrange the Leela of Vrindavan in such a way that we can appear to be immoral just to create the special ecstasy of that excitement, but remain perfectly moral on every level. And similarly, because the gopis for so long cherished a desire to dance with Sri Krishna, Krishna condensed an entire night of Brahma, which is billions of our earthly years, into 12 hours one evening. How is this possible? For Krishna, what is impossible? We read in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna was living in Dwarka, which was only a relatively small island, there were hundreds of millions, there were billions of people living in Dwarka. And yet we do not read about traffic jams or overpopulation. We simply read about beautiful parks, beautiful lakes, fresh clean water, fresh air, beautiful, wonderful palaces with wonderful, wonderful gardens all around. And we read about how Krishna, he took care in Brajbhumi of Nanda Maharaj's cows, 900,000 cows. And how they would, there was no problem controlling them. They would all go to the Jamuna to drink water together. Now by material calculations, it would take all day to feed 900,000 cows on the bank of a river. But Krishna, he did it all within a few minutes and went on with his pastimes. And how is it that Krishna manifested the entire universe within his mouth to show this wonderful darshan to Mother Yashoda? All the mountains, all the trees and forests, all the planets, all the oceans, all the abodes of the devatas, they were all seen in the tiny little mouth of Gopal. And how is it that Mother Yashoda could get all the ropes in Brajbhumi, tie it together, and it was always two fingers too short from going around the waist of Krishna? This is Krishna's inconceivable potency, Achintya Shakti, because he is Ananta, he is unlimited. For the pleasure of his pastimes with his devotees, he can do anything. He's the supreme controller. Krishna condensed an entire night of Brahma, trillions of, billions of years, into 12 hours, simply to satisfy his devotees. Because Krishna says in Gita, time I am devouring all living beings. Krishna is Kala Rupa. In this form, he is the supreme controller, the supreme lord of this entire creation. Everything is under the control of time. But time is under the control of Krishna. What is it that Krishna cannot do to give pleasure to his devotees? Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. Simply to satisfy the heart's desires of the Braj Gopis, Krishna has made all of these incredible, wonderful arrangements. Vrindavan Leela. It was explained in a discussion between Srivas Thakur and Swarup Damodar. Srivas Pandit challenged Swarup Damodar that, what is your Vrindavan? Just some trees and some cows. But my Lakshmi Devi in Vaikuntha, she lives in beautiful, beautiful palaces. And there is so much opulence, so much luxury, so much wealth, so much beauty. This Vrindavan is a very simple place. How can you compare it to the abode of my Lakshmi? He was speaking in this way just so that Swarup Damodar Goswami would reveal to the world the truth and the essence of the opulence of Vrindavan. And Swarup Damodar Goswami replied that Vrindavan is a place where every granule of dirt is Chintamani Dham. It possesses all opulence. All one's desires are fulfilled just by approaching any of the Kalpa Vriksha trees. Every grain of dust is more valuable than the most precious of all jewels. It is a place where no one walks, everyone dances. Where no one speaks, but everyone sings. It is the ultimate, supreme most abode of opulence and love. But the opulence of Vrindavan is not Aishwarya. It is not in the mood of grandeur. It is not in the mood of majestic kingship. But the opulence of Vrindavan is Madhurya Ras. Madhurya means in its sweetness, in the spontaneousness of the love that takes place there. Not only between Krishna and the gopis and the gopas, between Krishna and everything that exists in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, everything is conscious. Not only conscious, but pure, full consciousness. There is no such thing as matter, inanimate, dead substance in Vrindavan. Everything is vibrant, alive. Everything is fully conscious. Conscious of ecstatic loving service to Sri Krishna. And in Vrindavan, everything and everyone that exists, there is no envy or jealousy. because Krishna is expanding his love in such a way that everything is fully satisfied with its relationship with Krishna. Each tree, even the wall, the floor, the ground, the flower, the boat that Krishna goes on Jamuna with, everything in Vrindavan, even the decorations on the cowherd boys, they are all fully conscious, liberated beings, taking that divine form simply to give pleasure to Krishna. And Krishna personally shows so much love, like the radiant sun, the sun's shine. It fully manifests itself everywhere and on everyone. So similarly, Krishna's love is so special that even what we would consider the most insignificant piece of matter that is on the ground, Krishna is showing its love toward that in such an ecstatic way that that being is thinking, Krishna loves me. Krishna's given me such a special, special service to assist his divine lila with Sri Radharani. Vrindavaneshwari. It is this sweetness that is the opulence of Vrindavan. And this Madhurya Ras of Vrindavan, it is completely beyond the jurisdiction of material limitations. There are 5 rasas, primary rasas, and 7 secondary rasas. The 5 primary rasas are Santaras, which means that of neutrality, dasyaras, that of servitorship, sakyaras, that of equals, friendship, vatsalyaras, that of a superior parent, and madhuryaras, that of conjugal lover. In the other Vaikuntha planets and in the other incarnations of Lord Sri Krishna, we find Santaras and Dasyaras. And we find semblances sometimes of Sakyaras and Vatsalyaras, but they are not pure like in Vrindavan. For instance, Kausalya and Dasarat, they certainly have a Vatsalya Ras relationship with Sri Ram. They are parents. But still, they are thinking Ram to be the great king. Even from his birth, they were seeing him as the great, powerful, majestic prince. Therefore, there was reverence. There was this bhav of Aishwarya. And therefore, according to the standards of Vrindavan, that Vatsalya Ras was not completely free and pure. Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they had no conception that Krishna was great. They simply loved him as a parent. Similarly, Lakshman and Bharat, they certainly had some sense of Sakyaras with Ram. But it was always with amount of great respect and reverence for his majestic existence. But the Gopas, they didn't consider Krishna was a great person. They just loved him because he was Krishna, unconditionally. So therefore, in Vrindavan, all the 5 primary rasas, are integrated with the mood of Madhurya Ras. This feeling of conjugal love permeates all the rasas of Braj Bhumi. And therefore it is Madhurya Dham. It is the abode of the ultimate full manifestation of the sweetness of bhakti. And Srimati Radharani, she is the bhakti rupa. She is the source, the personification from whom all this madhurya bhakti is emanating. And therefore she is Vrindavaneshwari. She is the queen of Vrindavan. But she is not queen like Lakshmi is the queen of Vaikuntha. Lakshmi being queen of Vaikuntha means she sits on throne and everyone recognizes you are our master. But in the supreme original form of Lakshmi, in the form of Sri Radhika, she is the queen of Vrindavan in the sense that by her infinite love for Shyam Sundar, and the sweetness of that love, the whole of Braj Bhumi is simply permeated and completely influenced by that love. And ultimately everyone is serving Krishna according to their ras under the divine potency of Sri Radharani's love. Madhurya Dham. Krishna and Sri Radharani, when they appeared on this earth, they brought the Madhurya Ras of Goloka along with them, simply to attract the mind of all creation to the original pleasure of divine love. Therefore, for a devotee who has the blessings of the previous acharyas, they do not in any way, even for a second, doubt the inconceivable pastimes of Vrindavan. But they accept with a faithful heart and relish the unlimited potency of Krishna's love. The gopis, when they would close their eyes at the time of blinking, which is necessary, you cannot help blinking. It is the nature of the eyes that every now and then they need moisture. So Lord Brahma has created the eyes in such a way that they blink. How many times we blink a day? And I'm sure none of us, even once a day, notice that you have blinked. I doubt if anybody has even... scientists with all of their studies, they probably have never analyzed how many times a human being blinks their eyes every day. Because it's considered something that nobody ever notices. It's so insignificant. I'm looking at all of you. Every few seconds you're blinking. You don't even know you're blinking. I don't even know I'm blinking, but we're blinking. The eyes are going like this. But it's such a fast time. You cannot even calculate it with time. It's not a second. It's not even a fraction of a second. But the gopis, their love for Krishna was so deep and so pure that every time they blinked their eyes, they would be completely devastated in the agony of separation from not seeing Krishna. And they would chastise Lord Brahma for being a useless creator. That why he created eyes that blink, that interfere with our beholding the infinite beauty of Shyam Sundar. This is the power of the gopis' love. This is supreme power. This is Madhurya power, not Aishwarya power, the power of love. And Krishna, who is within the heart of each gopi, he is giving them this divine realization. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained in the mood of the gopis, Yugayatam nimeshena chakshusha prabhrishayatam sunyayatam jagat saravam govinda virahena me. That bereft of the sight of Govinda, even a moment seems like 12 years or more. And during that moment, the whole universe appears like a dreary void, bereft of the sight of Govinda. So Krishna, he could make a moment 12 years or more to increase the gopis' feelings of love. There are two ways in two principal forms in which Krishna performs his loving lila with his devotees, sambhoga and vipralamba, in meeting and in separation. So we hear when the gopis would blink their eyes, Krishna would increase their love and separation by making that blink seem like years and years and years of not seeing Krishna. He condenses years into one blink to increase their love and separation. Sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. But here the gopis are meeting with Krishna. After separation, they are meeting, doing ras dance. And Krishna wants to increase the ecstasy not only of their separation, of their meeting. So by his inconceivable potency, they had one night to enjoy with Krishna. Krishna planned to send them home the next morning. So Krishna condensed an entire night of Brahma, billions of years, into that 12 hours. Just so the Braj Gopis could enjoy the ecstasy of their bhava of love with Krishna to their heart's content. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining here that when it was the time of dawn was approaching, the sun was about to rise, Krishna, who is Vasudev, the presiding deity of everyone's consciousness, he told the gopis that whatever our lila may be, you must keep it secret. No one is to know. And then he invested within their hearts a feeling of embarrassment and fear that we've been out all night long, and our fathers and our elder brothers and some of our husbands, they will be very much angry with us. Maybe we should go home. And therefore, when Krishna told them that you must go home, They very graciously complied with his orders. In the loving pastimes of Sri Krishna, from within and without, Krishna is making every possible arrangement simply to satisfy his devotees. And his devotees from within and without are making every possible arrangement to satisfy Krishna. Each devotee, the gopis, when they were asked for the dust of Krishna's, of their feet to put on Krishna's head to relieve him of their headache, they immediately began to scrape the dust from their feet. And they were asked, why? Do you not know that even the demigods, they wouldn't dare to put the dust of their feet on Krishna's head? Even the greatest rishis and yogis, knowing that to commit this offense you will go to hell? The gopis' reply was, we know that Krishna's headache will not last very long, whether we put the dust of our feet on his head or not. But if by putting the dust of our feet on Krishna's head relieves his headache even for a second, we are willing to go to hell for the rest of eternity just to give Krishna 1 second of pleasure. This is the quality of the love of the Brijvasis. That from within and without, their whole life is simply dedicated to assisting the wonderful pleasurable pastimes between Radha and Krishna. And Krishna and Sri Radharani, their lila is to orchestrate everything within the spiritual world, to make every possible arrangement from within the heart of the devotees to all of the external arrangements, simply to increase the pleasure of his devotees. And there is a great competition. Radha Krishna and all of their divine servants of Brajbhumi, they are always competing who can give more pleasure to the other. We read the story of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami was Rupa Goswami's guru. He was his elder brother. And when it was Sanatan's birthday, appearance day, Rupa Goswami was thinking, I should make some special offering for the pleasure of my Gurudev. Well, what do I have? I wish I could make some nice feast for my Gurudev. So he was thinking like this. Where do these thoughts arise? It is by the grace of Sri Radha and Krishna that all these thoughts of love come into our heart. And just as he was thinking like that, a small, beautiful, little cowherd boy, girl, little village girl, came with nice pots. Said, I have heard that it is your Gurudev's appearance day today. Well, here is some nice kheer that I have made. Please offer it to your Gurudev. And Rupa Goswami, he went and offered this wonderful pot of kheer to Sanatan. And they drank it together. And as they drank it, they just were just utterly engrossed in ecstatic feelings of love. They were crying. Their hairs were standing on end. They were rolling on the ground. They couldn't understand, what is this? Sanatan said, what type of bhakti did you put into this kheer? Where did you get it? You are a poor beggar. You are doing madhukar. Nobody in Vrindavan gives you things like this. At the most, you get some roti. He said, oh, a little village girl came and gave me this pot of cure to offer you. Sanatan became very suspicious. What little girl is this? Describe. What did she look like? What did she say? When Rupa Goswami explained the characteristics of this little village girl, Sanatan became very angry at Rupa Goswami. He said, that was Sri Radharani. You have accepted service from Sri Radharani. This is a great offense. We are the servants. Our position is to sacrifice everything to assist her in her loving service to Sri Krishna. But we have transgressed all the principles of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings by accepting service from Srimati Radharani. And when Rupa Goswami heard that he accepted service from Sri Radhika, he began to weep and cry. They were both crying in shame. But of course, in the spiritual consciousness, shame, embarrassment, fear, it is all different varieties of ananda, ananda vrindavan, of divine ecstasy. It is all created simply for the pleasurable bhava of the devotees. So in this way we see, in this beautiful story of Rupa and Sanatan, how there's always the competition between Thakurji and his devotees. Sri Radharani, Shyam Sundar, they are always this consciousness, this abode, is the supreme goal and supreme destination of the soul. And by very sincerely, with great humility, following the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness, by hearing the glories of the Lord, by chanting his holy names with a strict vow of discipline, by becoming the servant of the servant, the obedient servant of the spiritual master, and his servants, we can achieve the grace of Krishna and be given entrance into this wonderful lila. It cannot be taken cheaply. We cannot think that we can just go to Vrindavan and just enter into the ras of Krishna's love affairs. Vrindavan is not such a cheap place. It is a place that is attained after total surrender to the Lord. By obediently performing great sacrifices and taking all risks and enduring hardships in the service of the spiritual master by doing whatever he says, and by chanting the holy name according to his direction, and humbling one's ego to serve all the servants of the Lord. Dagadveshiva muktaistu vishayan indriyaistaran atma vishayadhi atma prasaram. This is how we achieve the purity of consciousness, which brings us closer to eligibility to enter into the rasa of Vrindavan. Some less fortunate people, they think, what is the need of guru instruction? It's a hardship. It's a disturbance to perform all these austerities. Better I just go to Vrindavan and just wander through the groves and do what I want, when I want, thinking of Krishna. Braj Bhumi is not such a cheap place that you can just buy a ticket and live there. There are people begging here in Bombay, there are people begging in Vrindavan. Certainly it is fortunate to be a beggar in Vrindavan. But a real beggar is a person who begs for service, not who just begs for rotis. We are begging for the service to please the Lord. We do not go to Vrindavan to enjoy Vrindavan. We go to Vrindavan to be enjoyed by Radha and Krishna. And until we are in a completely purified, transcendental state of consciousness, the only way to be enjoyed by Radha and Krishna is to be enjoyed by the spiritual master who is their divine representatives. To approach Radharani and Sri Krishna's Leela directly is impossible for a conditioned soul. Only liberated souls can enter directly into that arena of love. Therefore it is said, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada Yasya Prasada Nagati Kriho. That by pleasing one's Gurudev, one pleases Krishna. Those who are born in Vrindavan, Vrijvasis, our Guru Maharaj said, they may not even need a Guru. They are directly with Krishna. But those who are not, they should not try to imitate. They should not be bogus babas. Imitating Raghunath Das, Rupa, and Sanatan Goswami when still material desires are contaminating one's heart. Better to be honest and to be where your guru wants you to be and to serve him. If he wants you in Bombay cleaning toilets, that is the path to Braja for you. That obedient service will attract the mercy of Krishna in your life. It will give you a real, true, tangible understanding of Vrajbhumi. We do not want prestige, that I am a great saint, I am a great sadhu, I am performing so much tapasya, I am chanting so many lakhs of names of God every day. This is not our aspiration. Krishna is not impressed whether you chant 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 10 lakhs of names a day. Nor is he impressed whether you eat one roti or whether you eat one grain of salt a day. He's not impressed whether you sleep on the ground or take cold baths. Mystic yogis can also perform these types of tapasyas. The only thing that impresses Krishna is the humility of the heart to be willing to be the servant of the servant of his servants. And when we chant, when it is the order of Gurudev that you chant this many names every day, minimum, and in a spirit of humility and service you follow that direction and chant, that is pleasing to Krishna. If the Guru wants you in Vrindavan, you live in Vrindavan and you serve him according to his direction. If he wants you in Rishikesh, if he wants you in Bombay, if he wants you in America, you should know that Vrindavan will be revealed to the heart of the person who is surrendered with humility. But if we think, I don't need Guru, I know myself what is good, or my Guru doesn't know what's best, then where is our humility? Then we are simply proud. And that proud heart, even if you're living right at Seva Kunj, if your heart is proud, you will see trees and you will see monkeys, but you will not see the abode of Krishna. Premanjana Churika Bhakti Vilochanena. No doubt that there is no external and internal Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the divine abode of the Lord. But you cannot perceive it unless Sri Radharani and Lord Sri Krishna reveal it to you. And it is only revealed, as Panditji was explaining yesterday, to one who has adopted the mood, Trinarapi Suniche Na Tarorapi Sahishnana Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. This is the process where we give dignity and value to Vrindavan Dham and to the path of bhakti. We should not take it cheaply. We should not take it whimsically. We should approach at the beginning with great care and attention and respect. And then, although it may be a gradual process, it is a process where step by step we are making progress in the path to Vraja. Vrajbhumi, that place where the inconceivable supreme power of Krishna is exclusively being enacted to give the highest pleasure and ecstasy to everyone. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.